Those who were not here last week, we were learning this maimer, a short maimer. Hopefully we'll have time for two maimerim, but one at a time. A short maimer from Rav Avraham Tzvi Kluger, the author of this sefer, Nezi Yisrael, on the subject of Yeyush. We were defining what Yeyush is according to the Torah, and how we understand the meaning of Yeyush. Yeyush, which is translated into English as despair, but there are many, many words in Lashon HaKodesh that cannot be accurately translated and can't be captured. The ruach of what it is cannot be really captured in the English translation. But we were talking about a person who is a ma'amin, who believes 100% that everything is hashgacha pratis, everything in his life and her life, every single moment is hashgacha pratis, and therefore there are no tainus about why this has come to me, why do I have this difficulty, and so on and so forth. But rather, we're talking about an individual who accepts the hanhagi el yonav Hashem. He accepts the hashgacha pratis, and he believes in everything. But the problem is that over the course of life, and the difficulties that he or she has had, it's come to a point where the person simply has become emotionally and spiritually numb, has lost to a large extent the capacity to really laugh wholeheartedly, to cry wholeheartedly. And as a result of this, has entered into a phase of life where it's simply better not to think too deeply about life, b'chlal, and better not to go into certain, open up certain doors and to enter to certain places of my past, of my life, because there's too much there. And the person goes from day to day living in this state of Yeyush. Yeyush is defined, as we spoke about last week in Halacha, Yeyush means when a person loses something in such a way, like the example that we gave last week was a person drops an earring in the ocean. So the person at that point says, "Vayel chisaron kis, it's vafalm. I'm never going to get this back." And the person in Halacha, therefore, is in a state of Yeyush. And Yeyush means, according to this, an acceptance of a certain matzav that I'm in. And this matzav, this situation that I'm in, is not really going to change. This is the matzav that I'm in. It's not going to change. I really can't change this. And with that acceptance of his or her faith, there is this loss of a certain simchas achayim, a certain joy of life, that creates an overall atmosphere of Yeyush. So on page 2, Nish'elas She'ela, the question is asked, Kasha Misracheish Kazois Ba'olam U'Ba'olam Shel Hayachid. When such a thing happens in a person's life, Ha'im Yesh Efsharus Shel Hayov Lidei Azivas Hadavar B'Libay? Is it possible for the person not to come to Yeyush? Remember that Yeyush is defined as azivas hadavar, letting go of something, letting go and giving up. I'm not going to have this, and the person gives up. So when a person experiences loss, whatever that loss is, and something has happened that apiseichel does not seem to be something that could be recovered or regained. So what other response is there other than azivas hadavar, letting go? And we know that that is often the healthiest response to a situation, being able to let go. Hari mayu chalasos. So what could the person do? Michahin yonim nisunim biyadav? Is it in his hands? Is it up to him? The chiyesh biyado er sharos acheres zulas lemavai, Does he have any other choice but to say, no, vay, vay means it's afal, it's gone. Ulahashlim im avdan hashalva michayev. Does he have any other choice but to accept that shalva in his life, that because of the situation that he's in, that a certain peacefulness, a certain equilibrium or tranquility has been lost in his life? It's the most natural thing. Shiyashlim, to come to terms with that matzav that you're in, the ikana klaimer yisyaish, and to give in and to submit to it, and yisyaish, and to come into that state of yayush, which people could spend the vast majority of their life on. There are many people who, from the time that they're children, just after they were children, we spoke about this a little bit last week, it could be something happened while they were children. Some loss was experienced, or something traumatic was experienced. And the individual is misyayish. All kinds of decisions about how people get married. The conversations that I've had with young people and the criteria that they have for getting married, and how many times I've heard come from the mouth, especially of young women, where a girl will say, look, I did certain things in my past, I'm not a big tzedekus, so this is the guy that I can marry. And it's very, very clear when you meet the boy that she could do much, much better than this boy. Not a little better, much, much better than this boy. It's b'chlal not in the same gather of human being as she is. But she has accepted that she is no longer from the higher echelons of Klai Yisrael. She sees herself as being lower on the totem pole. And a suggestion was made. She sees many things in the boy that make her uncomfortable. I've had this conversation, I can't tell you how many times, that she's very uncomfortable with the boy. There are certain things about his Yiddishkeit, about his personality, that are very, very, very far from what she ever would hope to have. But because inside of her heart, she was misyayish, that she cannot, and she's unworthy of marrying somebody better than that, so she settles. It's a certain yayush, a terrible, terrible yayush. I'm not talking about a person who wants to marry Reb Chaim Kanievsky, you understand. I'm talking about a realistic, fine girl who might have made some mistakes. And as a result of that, she is misyayish. And she settles and she marries a certain kind of a person. And a person who, she, on a deeper level, she can never really respect. At least not the way he's behaving now. She can't respect him at all. My wife read to me something. I don't know if it was from Mishpach or Abina or Hamadiyah. Can I heard there's so many things. I don't know which it's from. When we were kids, it was only the Jewish press, and we weren't supposed to admit that we were reading it. But now there's all this stuff. So it was one of the magazines. But there was a very, very sharp letter from a woman, very sharp letter, and a good letter. I'm sure that's going to cause a little bit of a tumult if they allow the tumult into the magazine. But she basically said something to the effect of, you know, the men expect us to do the laundry, to take care of the kids, and to provide meals and so on. And yet, our basic expectation that I should be married to a guy that goes to daven 3 times a day, and he gets to shul 10 minutes before davening, 5 minutes before davening, to put his tefillin on, and that he has a chavrus and a seder and learning, we hear time after time after time that you're not allowed to tell your husband that you expect him to learn. And chas v'shalom, you're not supposed to be his mashgiach, you're not his rabbanit. You know, you have to let it, he needs his space, he needs, and so on and so forth. You can imagine a woman saying that, I really don't feel like doing the laundry, I need my space, you know, I'm working on it. So, you know, the moon, you know, I'm having a yurida. Imagine a woman saying, I'm having a yurida, I'm sorry, you're not having supper for the next 2 months. He'll say, why not? I'm having a yurida. And yet guys can say that. Again, these are conversations I have every day. Yurida, nefila, it's hard, I'm not inspired, I'm not motivated. Let a woman say once, I'm not motivated to do your laundry. I'm not motivated or inspired to cover my hair, or inspired to prepare meals. And the men, they seem to be able to get away with this whenever they want. And not only that, but the women are constantly being told, don't say anything, don't leave them alone. You're not allowed to talk about it. So you can make a chili. Yeah, but that's in ruchnias, this is in gashmias, they're talking about laundry, they're talking about avodas Hashem. There are basic expectations that every one of you had when you got married, and that you have in life, those who have to be married and so on. There are certain expectations that you want to marry a person that that's serious about Yiddishkeit, that davens betzibur, that has a chavrusa, that is a person that's connected to Divrei Torah, doesn't sit around at 2 a.m. Playing checkers with a computer or something. There's certain expectations that the girls have, that the women have. And if the guys don't meet these expectations, the women are supposed to be totally quiet about it and totally passive about it. And I'm not suggesting any type of rebellion, but it's fascinating. It is fascinating. The disparity, it's unbelievable. This woman wrote very strongly about it. We're supposed to do everything. I mean, we don't have any excuse to say, you know, it's a Yerida. I'm going through a Yerida. But this is the matzav that we're in now. So what happens is that to begin with, I've spoken about this publicly many times. I don't understand how the women can watch their husbands go to shul 15, 20 minutes, a half hour, 40 minutes after davening starts on Shabbos. And how come, are the women saying anything? Do they protest? Do they cry about it? Do they ask what happened to the person that I married? Do they try to have a discussion about it? I don't believe that it's possible that, I know Jewish women care about davening. I don't know how it's possible that they could be soivel, that their husbands are standing outside during half of davening, schmoozing and hanging out on someplace outside the shul or downstairs and making a kiddush. But the women are misyayish. They're either misyayish in terms of the madrega of who I'm supposed to be married to, or the misyayish on the person that they're married to. This yeyush is a terrible sickness. At the same time, the person obviously has to know when to speak up and when not to speak up, and it could be very, very... It could cause tremendous problems in a marriage if a person speaks up the wrong time or the wrong way. I'm not suggesting it by any means to stare a whole situation in a home. I'm not talking about that. What I'm saying is that Yeyush affects us in many, many ways. And one of the most obvious ways is, who do you marry? What state of mind were you in when you got married? Who did you think you were worthy of marrying? Were you misyayish on certain things? Did you settle on certain important things in life? That inyan that we call in English settling is often a symptom of yeyush in ruchnius. Im kein ma pesha ha-maimer ha-yidua she-tovu tzadikim. So how do we understand? If Lamaisa, you really don't have much that you could do, and the situation seems to be fafal, what other response is there besides Yeyush? And yet the tzaddikim have taught us that Yeyush is Shalom Idas. Now Yeyush Shalom Idas is also a term in Halacha. The tzaddikim borrowed that term in Halacha and used it to make this point. In Halacha, Yeyush Shalom Idas means, when is it halachically, for instance, when a person loses something, that there's Yeyush? It's if you know that you lost it. If you know that you dropped your ring into the ocean, And you look and you're standing there, oivay, then you understand that you drop something into the ocean. The likelihood of finding something in the ocean is just about zero. So you're misyayish. That yeyush is a yeyush that takes place midas. In other words, you know exactly what the facts are. You look at the situation, and looking at the situation, you've come to the rational conclusion, das. And the rational conclusion is, there's nothing I can do about this. It's fafal. In other words, I lost my ring, I lost it in the sand of the ocean, I'm not going to find it. That's called regular yeyush. In halacha, if a person finds that ring, it's theirs. Find his keepers. Because the yeyush was a yeyush that was a conscious letting go. The person understood, this is the ocean, this is not in my backyard, it's not on my porch. This is in the ocean. I dropped my ring in the ocean, it's a foul. So the yeyush is a yeyush that's conscious. And it's a yeyush that is reasonable according to the facts on the ground. Now what's yeyush shalom idas? Yeyush shalom idas means that we can't say that the person gave up if he doesn't know b'chlal, if he doesn't know at all what happened. If he doesn't know at all what happened. So if the person doesn't know that his wallet is missing, if he doesn't realize that the ring, if she doesn't know that her ring is missing, we can't say that there's yeyush, because that's yeyush, the halacha says, shalom idas. How could you say that person has given up if the person doesn't know the facts? That's called in halacha, yeyush shalom idas. Yeyush shalom idas does not work. In terms of the person finding something, we have to be able in halacha to have a clear assumption that the person knows that this was lost, and as a result of losing something in such a way, has given up. So the tzaddikim, Tfar Shlom, and other tzaddikim have taken this term, Yeush Shlomidas, and in the Sifrei Chassidus, the way that they explain this is as follows. They say that Yeush, if a Jew gives up hope, it's Shlomidas. It's only because he's not using his das. A Jew can never give up. Yeush is Shlomidas. In other words, they take it out of the realm of halacha, and they apply it to our avodas Hashem, bechlal, and all of life, that yeush is shloimidas. A Jew should never give up hope. And if a Jew gives up hope, it's a shtus. It's shloimidas. Yeush is shloimidas. Sheheder das hu agarim liyeush. That only a person who is missing das gives up. But as long as you have das, then you're not misyayish. Harichu b'sifreim ha-gadoshim, lahazir ma'oid min ha-yayish. And that's why the tzaddikim, in particular the Talmid Baal Shem, are constantly warning us never ever to give up. Lahazir ma'oid min ha-yayish, not to be misyayish. Ki noveya min ha-tos, the tzaddikim say that yayush comes from a mistake. There's an error in your way of thinking. If you would think like a Jew, if you would think correctly, if you would understand the truth, you would not be misyayish. Kinevei min ha-tos ve'en anochem klal o'klal. Noidoyim bituyei kodesh shekosu Rabbi Tzadok HaKoyim Lublin. There's a very famous teaching of Rabbi Tzadok HaKoyim from Lublin in Divrei Sofer, and there's a very famous and beautiful sentence in it that has given chizik to a lot of people, where the Kohen writes, Ein li Yehudi li Yisyayish mishum dava. A Jew should never give up. Ein li Yehudi li Yisyayish mishum dava. Mishum dava? So a person, let's say, who God forbid, lost a child, lost a parent. Ein li Yisyayish mishum dava? Isn't there what we call in America closure, right? There's a word that's used very often, closure. And closure means acceptance. And acceptance means that this is finished. This parasha of my life is done. And isn't that a healthy way to think? And isn't that the way of the Torah to think? So what are the tzaddikim saying? Ein li Yehudi l'siyayish mishum dava. Mishum dava. Ein li Yehudi l'siyayish mishum dava. Ein yeish klal etzel ish Yehudi. He brings, Rabbi Tzadok brings from Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu. And he says, our whole nation comes from these two people, Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu. And why did Hashem Yisbarach build Am Yisrael from two old people who couldn't possibly have children? That's our Metzius. Now, you and I are the products of something that was impossible. We are the products of a situation that spelled absolute yayush. Avraham Avinu let go of ever having kids. Sarah Imenu was misyayish. But the Baruch Shalom says, Hayipolim Hashem Dover. Hayipolim Hashem Dover. As far as Sarah Imenu was concerned, Adon Yizalkin, my husband can't have children. I don't have bechlal, the ability to have children. Sarah Imenu, as you know, was not Kara. She couldn't have children. So Rabbi Tzadok is talking about that mitzvah of Am Yisrael, that Am Yisrael is the product of a situation that was beyond hope. There was no hope. It could never be. In other words, our existence was never supposed to have been. According to the rules and regulations of this world, our existence was never supposed to have been. And our continued existence doesn't make sense at all. Which Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in his Siddur on Tisha B'Av, in the section on Tisha B'Av, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that anybody who, in his time, that's before the Holocaust, that anybody who just looks at the history of our people sees that the fact that we exist is a much bigger nation than any of the nations of existence sign. It's a much bigger nes. Our existence is a much bigger nes than any of the nesim we could say. So it's much, much crazier than Kriyas Yamsuf and the Ten Makas and food coming from Shemayim. Our existence. Our existence. There are people right here in the Beis Medrash whose parents were in the Holocaust. Yeah, besides me, I'm sure there are others here. I know there are others here. Our existence is impossible. Our existence is something which is against anything that makes sense. And the whole Metzius of Am Yisrael came about with Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu being in an impossible situation, being in a place of Yeyush, and from there Hashem, Davke, from there Hashem built Am Yisrael. And Reb Tzadik is explaining, why did Hashem do that? Why couldn't Hashem's Baruch make Am Yisrael in like a regular nice way, a nice young couple, even by those year standards, let's say 60, 70, right? All right, not 25, not 22. But it could have been something normal. Why were we made into a people from such an abnormal situation? So Reb Tzadik, it's in that place where Reb Tzadik explains that the reason that we were created in that way, from two old people who couldn't possibly have children, from two old people who were messiahs, was in order that for all time, forever and ever, each and every Jew, no matter what he or she is going through or has gone through in life, will never be messiahs. That's what Reb Tzadik explains. Ein liyehud liyistash mishum dover. Ein yeish klal etzel ish yehudi. Ki zeh kol ha'odem ha'yisraeli. Reb Tzadik says that's the whole Metzius of Am Yisrael and the whole Metzius of each and every one of our lives. Lahamin she'ein l'isya'ish klal. Reb Tzadik was very careful with his words. Ki zeh kol ha'odem Yisraeli. The essence of being a Jew is lahamin to believe she'ein l'isya'ish klal. Never ever to let go. Never to give up. Okay, those are beautiful words. And many people have taken chizik from that. Reb Tzadik, and I have given that Reb Tzadik to countless people over the years. But achadvarm tzvichem havana. We need to understand what that means. There's no yayush. And the ikr of being a Jew is lahamin she'ein lis yayush klal. V'hineh hezbar poshut al kach. Base. The simple chat. She'nizkavnu lahayres that the tzaddikim, Reb Tzadik and others were teaching. That a Jew should never look at a certain situation, whatever the situation is, as if it's the end, and it's already been decided. And if we go back to the Rishayim, we could find something along these lines in Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah writes, Ki Hashem Yisbarach Rav Lohishia. Hashem Yisbarach Rav Lohishia. Hashem could do anything. Hashem Yisbarach Rav Lohishia. He is all powerful. He could do anything. Acha Shehatzara Kroiva Umuchenes. Hashem can save the person, even when he's now in a desperate situation, even when the tzara. Even with the tzara is mamish upon the person. K'moy l'fnei tzara. It was the same way that Hashem Yisbarach can prevent us from being in a tzara. Hashem can take us out of a tzara. Hayipolim Hashem dor. That's not hard for Hashem. It's not a matter of statistics. Just because the person has now lo aleinu come down and has been diagnosed with a terrible disease. The same Rabbi Shalom who didn't give the person the disease until that moment can take the disease away. That's what Rabbi Yonah says. Ki Hashem Yisbarach Rav Lo Yishia, Acha Shatzar Kreivu Mochenes. The same Hashem can bring a Yeshua after the Tzar is already here. K'may L'fnei Tzar. The same way before there was a Tzar. There never was a Tzar. The person was never sick. So for 40, 50, 60 years, the person kept you okay. Everything's all right. Nothing showed up on the screen. And now the doctor says we have to have a discussion. there's something that's making us very, very worried here. We need to have a talk with you. And you come down, and there's this discussion. The same Rebbe Yishlom who kept that away from you for all of the years, the same Rebbe Yishlom could take it away from you. So the simple pshat in not being nisyayish is the same conversation that you and I have had with people that we know and that we love throughout the years who have had difficulties, and we tell the person, Hayipolim Hashem Dover. The Rebbe Yishlom gave this to you, the Rebbe Yishlom could take it away from you. The Rebbe Yishlom kept it from you all of these years, and now that it's here, the same Rebbe Yishlom could take it away from you. So the simple pshat in Ein Yeish, or Yeish Shleimi Das, is what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying. Loi niskenu alilois, meaning everything is Hashem's hands. All the eventualities of life are up to Hashem. V'habe rebech v'atzol l'fanav. Habe rebech v'atzol l'fanav means that Hashem has all different kinds of ways of saving a person. All different kinds of things that Hashem's book could do. He has a big bag of tricks. He could do a lot of interesting things. Habe rebech v'atzol l'fanav. V'im kei. Eich yechrod halev v'yimas. So Rabbeinu Yonah writes, why should the heart of a Jew be frightened? And why should it melt? Halei ha'tikva techezkeyu. He should be strengthened by that hope in Hashem. Kaveh el Hashem, chazak v'yamitzitachah, v'kaveh el Hashem. As Chazal tell us, kaveh el Hashem, and again, lochamal, chazak v'yamitzitachah, mu'as chazkus. Kaveh el Hashem, kaveh el Hashem. Someone was just showing me yesterday, there was a yeshiva, Rafal Shmulevitz, Yeshiva Rafua Shleima, that there was the Reb Chaim Salman, the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir, a big Talmud Chacham and a Tzaddik, that he had, lo aleinu, one of the most horrible, horrible diseases that Hashem Yisbach ever brought into the world, which is this Lou Gehrig's disease. And he had it already, it was pretty advanced. And there's a mahalach that they have in Eretz Yisrael, and they're experimenting with the Rosh Yeshiva. And someone showed me on the thing, if it's a phone or something, it was an iPhone or an iPad. They showed me yesterday here, on visiting guest, somebody showed me, that Rebbe Fol is walking around. And they asked him, and he agreed to be interviewed on television, because he wants to give chizik to people. And they asked the Rosh Yeshiva, the person is asking him, Haim he'amanta, did you believe that this was possible? That you could get better? Did you believe? I mean, he's not out of the tzara, but there's a Pesach. Hashem should help him. But did you believe? So his answer was, Hemanti, Hemanti, Kiviti. He said, Kiviti. Hemanti, he says, Kiviti. Because there's emuna, Kiviti means, I hoped in Hashem. I hoped, Kiviti. Hemanti, in other words, the person was using that word in modern Israeli Hebrew in a certain way, and Rebbe Rafal said, Kiviti. In other words, I had hope that it would be good. Hemanti was I. In other words, they use that in Israel as a way of saying, could you be certain, or in a way of. He says, Kiviti. Kiviti. I hoped. And we're all hoping that it should be good. But Hashem has many ways. So now there's this experimental treatment that came down, Davke, through Jews. He came to America. He was in Minnesota. And they said, no, there's only one place maybe they have a thing that could help you. That's in Yerushalayim. That's where he lives, in Yerushalayim. So he goes back to Yerushalayim. And there they have this chevra. And the whole chevra is run by Simchas Yehid also, that's behind this whole thing. And not that it would have made a difference, but it certainly made things go in a more pleasant way for him. And there are these doctors, and they have a certain thing with stem cell that they're working on. And they've only done this, it sounded like, 12 times, I think that's what they said, that they have 12 situations that they've been working on, and they felt that the Rashiva fit in perfectly into this experimental situation. And they're working with Rebbe Fol. He had this thing, and after 2 weeks he was able to talk, he threw away his shtekel, and he's walking without the stick. All right, you should have a foolish line. But HaKadosh Baruch has all different kinds of things. So where did they come up with a thing for Lou Gehrig's disease? Where anybody, when they hear those words, Lou Gehrig's disease, that's right away one thing. Yeish. Yeish. Habi Rebbech Vatol Lefonav. There's all different things. Habi Rebbech Vatol Lefonav. Vimkein eich yechvad alei v'yimas halei atikva techaskeyu. That's what the Rosh Yeshiva is saying. Kiviti, kiviti. I have hope. And that hope gives chizik. Sheyeda im levavo, Rabbi Yonah says, they should know inside of his heart, ki hakol bidei shamayim, everything's in Hashem's hands, ubiyodo l'shanas hativim, Hashem can change anything that's in nature, ulahachlif hamazel, and to change the mazel, ve'ela Hashem ma'atzo lo'ishiyah, and there's nothing that's preventing Hashem's brach, there's nothing that's holding Hashem back from a Yeshua. Hashem can bring a Yeshua no matter what. So Rabbi Yonah says, "V'alkein, therefore, yikavil Yeshuoso, yikavil Yeshuoso." You can't be certain. Bitochen doesn't mean that it's definitely going to be fine. That's what the Rosh Yeshiva is saying. Kiviti, but there's always a kivui. There's always hope. Afilo cherev chadu manachas at tzavar shel adam. Even if the knife is over the person's neck, kiviti means kave el Hashem, because Hashem's brach could bring Yeshua no matter what. That's the simple pshat. Therefore, there can't be complete yeyush in the life of a Jew. What I mentioned before, death seems to be pretty final. As far as that's concerned, a person is mesiyush. When the mace is in front of a person, he's not coming back. He's mesiyush. He's not coming back to life. But that too, of course, he's not coming back to life right now. And in that state of Misa, we all, as believing Jews, know that Hashem has allowed there to remain in this guf, in this body, a trace of life that's called Havla de Gamoy, a certain trace of life by the luz, by a certain part of the body. There's epis, something that's there. We believe that. And therefore, if someone would ask, do you believe that you'll ever see this person again? The answer is yes. Kiviti, ani mekaveh, I have hope in Hashem that I'll be zeichet to see this person again. It's not that this sugya of this person is not finished. Just because he's not breathing and because they're putting him into the kever and they're saying kaddish, the sugya of this person is not finished. Not finished. There's no yeyush. Even if the sword is on your throat. Gam be'eshat tzara kroiva, even when the tzara is here, v'lo yeda derech lihinotzel himen, and he doesn't see any way out. So that, Rabbi Yonah, is the simple pshat in not being misyayish. Okay. Ein liyehud liyisyayish mishum davar. A Jew should never give up. Bein bin yoni haguf, whether it's in physical matters, such as sickness, as we just learned, even if there's a sword that's held over your throat, you shouldn't give up from Hashem's rachmim. And certainly, also when it comes to spiritual matters. As Reb Tzadik says, even if you have fallen into the place that you have fallen, I was today on the phone with a person for over an hour and a half, an unbelievable chosh of a person whose wife, Laura Leinu, discovered terrible things that he was up to on the internet. And I spoke to her, I spoke to him, and he doesn't want to live. She wants a get, and he doesn't want to live. This is a Talmud Chacham. And he doesn't want to live. He told me he doesn't want to live. Those were his words. And this is only a few hours ago. He's Messiah from his marriage. He's Messiah from his Avodas Hashem. He's Messiah in everything. Until his wife found it, he was sort of in denial and deluding himself. And now the whole thing is out in the open with his wife. And she doesn't want to have anything to do with him. And he's Messiah. He's Messiah. Reb Tzadik says over here, "Bein binyanei hanefesh, I feel nishtake l'vakim shenishtake. I feel nishtake l'vakim shenishtake. Even if the person has sunk into the place that he's sunk in, that's what it means. I feel nishtake l'vakim shenishtake. There's no place that's so deep that a Jew is messiahish that he can't get out of. And ruchnius, again, what will happen with the marriage of Mitzvah Shem Hope it will be good. We'll be seeing somebody. I hope that we'll be able to help them. It's Hashem. It'll be good. But I feel nishtak and lamakim shem nishtak. No matter how low a person has fallen, I feel nishtak and lamakim shem nishtak. He sees himself getting deeper and deeper into things of this world. He's getting lost and further away. I'll tell you a happy story. That was a sad one. I mean, it'll have a good ending, Mr. Shem. But there's another phone call I got this morning of a fella who went to Israel this morning, who was not only in the Indian of watching it on the internet. There was Isaac and all kinds of terrible things, Lamaisa. And as a result of that, had to be in a place outside of New York in a rehab thing for close to a year. And Baruch Hashem, he's an unbelievable Yeshua. And he's going to sell. He called to say goodbye to me. He wanted to ask me, Shaila, is he allowed to buy a Strimal during the 9 days? So I said, you could buy a Strimal on Tisha B'Av. If you could find a Strimal Macha, go on Tisha B'Av, but you went through it. And I'm only using the example of a Strimal because it's not anybody could buy a Strimal, but he's holding by the Strimal. In other words, in his Avoda. And he put his marriage back together, and the wife is a tzaddikus, and she stayed with him, and she's working with him, and he got terrific help. And this is now, this is a person who's shining in the most beautiful way. His children and him, unbelievable, unbelievable. And if a year, a little bit more, like a year and a half, 2 years ago, somebody would have said to me that this guy would have a Yeshua. I'm telling you, inside of myself, the things that he was in, I don't, it's not nice for me to say it, but I didn't see how. I was Messiah. How could be from this person? And he comes from such, he doesn't have parents, Bechlal, to help him. His parents are the craziest people. Totally dysfunctional family. Totally. He had, Baruch Hashem, a wonderful wife. A dysfunctional family. Parents, brothers, crazy. And everything was dark, and there wasn't an opening in this person's life. And he worked on it, and he had help, and his wife was Mechazikim. And he asked now Rishus, his wife, can he go to HSL? Just he wants to be there now until Tisha B'Av to daven to thank Hashem. He wants to go to thank Hashem. They can't afford the two of them to go. And the wife said, go gizent ahead and go and thank Hashem. And he's going there just to thank Hashem because he's been clean now from everything, ready for Hashem for a while. And the doctor gave a good report, and he's on his way. I feel nishtak and welcome to nishtak. If this person could be put onto a stage and he could write up and to describe the show movie what he was in, I wouldn't say to ladies, I wouldn't even say to guys to the kind of things that he was in. You would never believe me what he was doing, this guy. And nishtak and welcome to nishtak, he was in the darkest place. Hayipol me Hashem dov, and his tefillas, his davening. Uman and Yushalayim and back to Uman and to the avoid of this person. It's unbelievable. And he's in a place of greatness. Greatness. This is a person you can go to for brachas. Demis, you can go to for brachas. And he was told that by Tzadik and Yushalayim when he was there a few months ago. That the Tzadik asked him for a bracha. Who knows? I feel nishtak and welcome to nishtak. That's what Tzaddik says. Al yisyayish ba'as me'loimesh l'yucha lifreish. Don't say, don't give up, and don't say you can't stop doing this. You're addicted. They already touched you up that this is you have an addiction. Don't. What Tzaddik says, al yisyayish ba'as me'loimesh l'yucha lifreish. Don't say that you can't stop. Don't say you can't stop. Don't say those words. I can't get away from this. I can't stop doing this. Don't say that. Ke'en yeyush klal etzel ish Yehudi. There is no such thing as yeyush by a Jew. Hashem isbarach yochel lazer b'chol inyan. Hashem isbarach yochel lazer b'chol inyan. Hashem can help with anything. Now, kasha Yehudi, let's try to understand. Kasha Yehudi yodea shahamatzev ena soifi. When a person realizes that my story is not over, I'm in the middle of a ma'isa. Every person's life is a ma'isa. One of the tzaddikim said, it's like when you're in the middle of a Gemara, you know, you don't know yet where this Gemara is going. And every person's life is a sugya. And as long as a person is alive, and as long as they're breathing, the ma'aseh is not finished. So kashiyud yadesh ha-matzev en ha-soifi, when a person knows that the matzev is not finished, it's not the end. V'chol rega yochel ishapech el ha-kotzeh ha-sheni. And at any moment, it could go the other way. It could go mamish the other way. Achein nesareres by tikva, that awakens within the person some hope. Veinu mesiyash. And then he's not mesiyash. It gives him some hope. Rab, however, kol ze ne'amar le'ish shema na'atzmai min harachamim u'min ha'tikva l'shinui. All that we're talking about is a person. A person leish shemona atzmei menarachmei menatikvei leshinui, a person who until now thought that it could never change and therefore had no hope. Kisavar hayushenechvatz adin ve'imonas himen, because he thought that it was finished, it was decided, and this is it, and he can't change. Val kein bo v'gilu lo shatosi, and now Rabbeinu Yoni came along and Rabbi Sadi came along and said, no, you're making a mistake. It could change. Why? Because Hashem is Baruch is infinite, and you're alive, and therefore, as long as you're alive, there's hope. And Hashem is Baruch can change the union altogether. So the person heard this Rav Tzaddik, he heard this Rav Enyayna, and it gave him hope. And as a result of that, he came out of Yeish. Because Hashem's kindness is infinite, then he could save a person from anything. So it worked for that person to help that person out of Yeish. Still, we haven't answered a very big question. We haven't yet answered the question. What if we're talking about a person who never made this mistake, who has 1,000,000% belief that Hashem could change anything at any moment? It's 100% of a mammon. We understand that if a person didn't have that emunah, and we came to him with Rabbi Tzaddik and Rabbi Yoni, and we mechazik him, and we told him how you pull him, Hashem dov and Hashem is boch, you have to believe in Hashem, and Hashem can do anything, nothing is beyond his kaiches, Hashem can do anything for you, and the person says, really, really, yeah, and we give him chizik. Okay, we understand. But what if we're talking about a person that knows that, 1,000%, and believes in that 1,000%? A person who has not made this mistake. Who's not making this mistake. Elamamin b'chol libay she'ein matzah l'shem l'shiyatomit. You come there to the hospital and you give the person your best drash, and the person says, I believe 1,000,000%. Shkoyach, I appreciate the good words. I'm 1,000,000% on the same page. But the problem is this, and this is what we haven't yet answered. Achim kolzois, kotzra ruchai mina hoive. What does that mean? It means that I know that Hashem could change things in the future. And I believe that Hashem could do any miracle. I know that. But I have to tell you, the truth is that right now, I don't know about the future. Ani mekaveh. I hope it'll be better. But right now, I don't have a cheshek for anything. I don't have a cheshek.
He goes through his life without any strength. Chulshas nefesh, he's emotionally weak. He's just been beaten. He's beaten. Can it change? Can Hashem do that? Sure, Hashem can do that. Maybe in the future it's going to be great. Maybe it'll be better than ever before. But for now, he just doesn't have the energy. Chalishas das v'heder chiyas. So chalishas das and a heder of chiyas, and an absence of chiyas of life. Kvas nar libo min daiges osi. It's not that he's thinking about what's going to be tomorrow. He's a big person. He's not thinking about tomorrow. What's going to be with me tomorrow? Behemina kibiyad Hashem ha'yicholus l'chadish ha'zareg ha'bah. He believes 1,000% that Hashem can change the next moment, everything. Everything can be different a minute from now. Fine. So zochli yipotim yeyush echad. So he's not trapped by one type of yeyush. What yeyush is that? Hainu yeyush l'gabe ha'osid. As far as the future is concerned, he's not misyayish. He believes that the future could be great. The future could change. Take a person. There isn't one of us here who hasn't met individuals like this. You get a woman, a choshev balashuva. She's 43 years old, 44 years old. And when she was young, she was Miss Popularity. She was dating. She was the star. She became frum. She hasn't gotten married. She gets invited out. People are nice every single Shabbos. She goes to her families. 4 children, 5 children, grandchildren. Sits on the table. Nice people telling her that don't worry. It'll be good. You're going to see. You're going to have a nice, you'll have a wonderful husband. And they'll even say something like, you'll have still children. So you'll have a family. And she believes that it could very well be that tomorrow Hashem Yisbarach will send me a person. But right now, she doesn't have a cheshek to live. Right now, her mitzvah is right now. In other words, we're telling her, wait, tomorrow it's going to be good. And she believes that Hashem could do that. So as far as the osid is concerned, can it be that a year from now I'll be married? Can it be 6 months from now, 6 days from now? Can be, it could be. Hayipolim Hashem Dover. The Yodo, Sheyochel Achein Lovo Shinu B'Charega. She knows that it could change, the mazel could change at any moment. Ain mazel Yisrael. We're not stuck in any mazel. Hashem Yisbarach could change it. Kashiyala Rotzen Lefnei Hashem Yisbarach, when Hashem will desire and will that I should get married. Achsei Seliboy Nirmas Ayidei Yush Noisov. The problem is that this person's heart has been crushed by a different Yeyush. Not the Yeyush over tomorrow. Yeyush machmes ahayve, a yeyush over today. And she feels, if I hear one more person telling me, don't worry, you'll see, you'll get married, I'm gonna shoot the person. Yeyush machmes ahayve. Yeyush from today. Right now, I feel lousy. Sheter mashinli, before the change. Maybe Hashem will change it. Ani mekaveh, I hope. But right now, so you'd like to think that as long as you have hope in tomorrow, that today is going to be gevaldik, but everybody knows that that's not necessarily true at all. It's not true. And the person that we were describing, that he was describing at the beginning of the Maimer, that person who is a full believing Jew, and yet is not really able to laugh or cry, and is not able to experience emotions in a deep way, and sometimes could be staying at his own kid's chasna and be pinching himself under the chuppah, how come I'm not really feeling anything? Something has died in the person. Something is gone. The capacity to be in a simcha, to be really in a simcha. Sometimes you can look at yourself and you're at a simcha, and it's like there's somebody else. If this is not your simcha. Or if it's a friend's simcha, and you love the friend, you can't, you're just not feeling it. And then and the other way, when you hear, God forbid, something bad that happens, so you feel bad in your head, it's a terrible thing, it's a sorrow, but then you know that in your heart, like, you just don't feel it. You don't feel it. We're coming to Tisha B'Av. To feel the keenness a little bit, to feel a little bit Eich Yashua. You don't have to even go back thousands of years. Just there's a big yeyush that has come over us. A yeyush, not that we don't believe in Hashem, and not that we don't believe that tomorrow could be gevaldig and that Hashem could change everything. Mashiach will come and live happily ever after. But there's a yeyush from today. There's a yeyush that today has taken away from us our ability to feel things in a deep way, not happiness, not sadness, just to be like numb. Yeyush mach misahoyva, sheterem hashinui. Kovid alav hamasa. The person feels that this, the weight of my life is just too, it's too much, it's too heavy. It's just too much for me. So tomorrow might be better. If I live till then, so then I'll enjoy that. But for now, it's just too much for me. I can't take it. Ein koyach. Hisyayish miluchyos ata b'simchas chayim. He's given up hope to live this moment with simchas chayim, with the joy of life. He's given up hope. He's given up hope for now. He can't be in a place of simchas chayim now. This is a problem, a big problem in our time, in our generation. Right now, there's a very big problem. Hisyayish miluchyos ata b'simchas chayim. You see it on the kids' faces. You see it on the parents' faces. Hisyayish miluchyos ata b'simchas chayim. V'kevin shedivrei Chazal netzachem. Since everything that Chazal have taught us applies always, forever. Chayim v'kayamim la'ad. V'yofa koichim l'chol eisa matzav. When the tzaddikim taught us ein yeish, there's no such thing as yeish. They didn't have like an asterisk and said underneath, except for you. I mean, a lot of people feel that way. That when it says, when Rabsaldik, Rabbi Nachman said, ein yeish, they weren't thinking about me. If they knew me, or they would have said, ein yeish chutz me. Me. Except for me. Mashma shetoma nitzay tza'or b'soich taicha shokol hoive naichachi. If Rabsaldik said, and this is from Chazal, and it's from the Torah, it's from Avraham Avinu and Sarai Menu. It goes back to the very roots of creation. If they said there's no such thing as yesh, it doesn't only mean tomorrow, it means even this minute. That's what we have to come to. To get out of that yesh of this minute. As from believing people who believe that tomorrow could be different, and are waiting every minute that it should be different. And Kavil Hashem, Chazak Yamsu B'Kavil Hashem. But where's the Simchas Achayim not to be misyayish this moment? Not to be misyayish. Terem Hashinu, before the change. Kayemes gam tikvas hoive. The tzaddikim must be teaching us, they're telling us, that there's such a thing as tikvas hoive, hope for right now. Not to wait, for now. Leirach tikvas osid, not only a hope that tomorrow, when it changes, if it changes. Boya in there, the tzaddikim are teaching us that there's a candle that's burning, shiyesh bo lahayir el toich ha-choshech, that can illuminate the darkness right now of my life. Terem Allah ha-or, before the sun has come up, before the Yeshua, before the Yeshua. Im karut tzaddikim haloich v'karai al yeyush, and the tzaddikim were calling out and screaming, al yeyush, no despair. Mashma yeish mashamani koyach v'oizlis moided b'hoiva. It means that they were giving us the kalim that we need to contend with the present moment of life. Ad sheyachush yehudi koev shehinal chai, so that even a Jew who's in terrible pain can still feel I'm alive. Noisei es atzmai, and can carry, it's a halachic term, I have to go into, but it means can carry himself, can lift himself up at will, out of this feeling that he has of not necessarily despair or even depression. You know that there's a machla now that people have, and I've never seen like now. It's called anxiety. And it's something like one third of the people in America have this and taking medicine and so on. Anytime that a person takes medicine, it's not a good thing, right? It's not good. So my wife and I are talking about this. This Indian of anxiety. And so you have the same chakir that we have. The chakir, so what was it like 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago? Is it that people had anxiety and they had no way to deal with it and they fell apart? Or that there was less anxiety.
Does it mean that there's something in what we're eating? Is there something in the stress of our lives that we're living in a certain time? So then maybe in Hurleyville, it's not like that. Maybe the Hicks over here don't have it like that, because maybe it's a New York Indian. What about family and friends who live out of town? What is this Indian of anxiety? What's this Indian of anxiety? The doctor, so I've spoken to the doctors about this. There are chemicals in the body. And when a person who has this imbalance encounters a certain scary or uncomfortable situation, it can unleash these chemicals. Somebody says, is this a chiddush that Hashem has brought now? The Tavshin Ayin Beis, that he brought such an Indian, that he's machalish, a thing of anxiety? Or is there always anxiety? I don't know any signs. So what is this Indian of anxiety? That every day I'm talking to somebody else, says, I can't. What? I can't. And it tells me that I'm taking this, I'm taking that, and my heart, I have palpitations, and I start to sweat and at night, and I'm worried about this, and I can't think about that, and my kids, and panosa, and all of these things. And you know, it ruins the quality of a person's life. Anybody here, if there's anybody here who has that, you know that. And if you know people who have it, it ruins life. You can't enjoy anything. Because there's always the Hecha Timsa that it's going to happen. So they have Baruch Hashem. Hashem has Baruch sends a lot of all these medicines that there are ways to help people. And I was just talking to somebody who was feeling better for the last 3 years, and all of a sudden it started up again. Crazy. Palpitations and this, and nervous, and what? Everything is good, Baruch Hashem. It's the hoiva, it's the present moment that's killing us. Even as people who believe that a minute from now it could change. The present moment, to be in this moment and not to be weighed down and not to be crushed either by big things or by little things. Because nowadays people are being crushed by little things, not just by big things. We're not talking here about how it was. Even little things now, people are crushed by tiny little things, the smallest little things. Again, it's not fair for somebody to say it's a small thing. But objectively, when you look at something and you see a person falling to pieces and you say, what's the matter? It could be the tiniest little thing in the hoiva, in the present, that's not letting me live. So it must be that if the tzaddikim said, ein yeyush, there's no such thing as yeyush, it's not just about tomorrow, it's about right now. So we have to learn the sugya more to be able to at least open up this place to take us out of yeyush for now. Tomorrow we believe we'll be fine, but for now we should be able to come out of yeyush, which Shem will continue next week.